Savior. What a Savior we have. All right, this morning, if you got your Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 10. I got one verse over there I'm going to read this morning. I take that back. I'm going to read verse number 23, 24, and 25 in Hebrews chapter number 10. The Bible says, "Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. Let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works." Verse 25. "Not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching." Brother Lee, would you pray this morning and ask God to help us?
Father in heaven and above, Lord, we want to thank you for this day, Father.
Yes.
Father, we want to thank you, Lord, for this house of worship that we have gathered together in, Father.
Yes.
Let us come together this day, Father, to worship you, Father, for you are worthy of all praise.
Amen. Yes, you are, Lord.
Father in heaven, I pray, Lord, you be with Brother Mike, Lord, touch him. Father, give him motion and direction in the Holy Ghost, Lord. Let him preach your word with authority.
Yes.
Father, I pray, Lord, you give him fruit for his labor this morning, Father.
Oh, God.
Lord, bless if everyone here today does not know you to free pardon and sin. I pray, Father, this would be the day they come to the knowledge of Jesus as Lord and Savior of their lives. Father, I pray for the name that's on the prayer list, Lord. You know,
yes, Lord, help.
Father, I'm thankful that you're still in charge, Father. Lord, I pray that you bless, you touch, you heal, you make whole, Father, if it could be your will, Father.
Amen.
God, direct us, Father, bless, have your willing way. We'll be careful to give you the praise and the honor for it. In thy Son and our Savior, Jesus Christ, the sweet and lovely name, we do ask these things. Amen.
Amen. You can be seated this morning. The phrase in verse number 25, he says, exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. That's what I want to preach on this morning, on seeing the day. And I want to exhort this congregation this morning to see that the day of the Lord is coming, that it's near. And it's encouraging to me this morning to realize that when he does come, that I'm going with him. And I'm glad that he come to me one day and he saved me. I guess this message this morning is going to be a little bit different. But I want you to notice some things today. I've got 3 points right here. Climate change, culture change, and Christ coming. What does climate change and culture change have to do with the coming of Christ? And I want to point out a few things right here. This message has been burning on me for a while, and I just couldn't get liberty to preach it. But this morning, I want you to notice here, climate change. Is it real? Is it a hoax? You can watch one news channel on TV, and they say, we're fixing to all be gone. And you watch another news channel, and they say, well, it's a hoax. Don't believe none of it. What do you say? What does God's Word say? Now, have y'all ever heard of a man by the name of Al Gore? He's a failed candidate for president. After he failed in his candidacy for president, he got on the bandwagon of climate change. He's traveled all over the world getting paid to make speeches and scare people to death about climate change. He has amassed a fortune of almost $300 million flying around in his private jet, eating at the finest restaurants around the world, and scaring people to death about climate change. If you could have believed everything he's been teaching, we'd have been all gone 6 years ago. What about John Kerry? Y'all know him? He's flying all over the world. He's a billionaire. He's flying all over the world preaching the same thing. We got a short time left to change things. All got to get you an electric car. And we all got to quit eating steaks and various different things that they're telling. And at the same time, they're making millions of dollars off of making their little speeches around the world. There's a little girl by the name of Greta Thunberg. You ever heard of her? She started preaching this stuff when she was about 15, 16 years old. And every time, if you've ever seen her making one of her speeches, she looked like she's mad enough to kill everybody in the world. And she says, I don't charge a thing for the speeches that I make. But now she's a 19-year-old multimillionaire. I don't know where all the money come from. She ain't even got a job. But anyway, I want you to think about climate change. Washington is really pushing climate change. Matter of fact, Nancy Pelosi. Y'all all know her, don't you? Old nasty Nancy. She and her husband, she's pushed that thing, and when she was Speaker of the House, she pushed that climate change, pushed it, and her husband at the same time was investing in climate change. They've made millions of dollars off of climate change. Another lady in Congress, AOC, y'all heard of her, hadn't you? Well, we should all be dead according to her. But climate change. Let's look at the Word of God this morning and see what's going on. It's a fact. This morning, I believe, according to the Word of God, it's not gas, it's not oil, it's not coal, it's not you jacked up cars and you jacked up trucks. It's not trucks, jet planes. It's not your cows out in your pasture. That's causing climate change. If there is a such thing as climate change, you help me be the judge this morning. I can rule out all these things right here about climate change today. Climate change, I believe, if it's real, it's a result of sin in the world. And God bringing judgment upon the world. And I'll show you in Scripture right here what I'm talking about this morning. First of all, let me say that God is in control. God created the heavens and the earth. And if God had power enough to speak it all into existence, and He didn't have to have anybody counseling Him, He didn't have to go look up in the book how to do it all. He spoke it into existence, and I'd say if God has that much power today, He's still in control today. Now let me say this. When Adam and Eve failed in the garden, and God confronted them about it, you'll find that God put a curse on Satan. God put a curse on the earth. Thorns and thistles will bring forth by the sweat of your brow. You'll earn your living from now. The earth is under a curse. You can't have heaven on an earth that's under a curse. But God promised Adam and Eve a Savior. And so, God is in control of climate. Look at your Bible this morning. I want you to look at something this morning. In Colossians chapter number 1, verse number 16, the Bible says this. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by Him and for Him. Listen to this. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. Sounds to me like He's in control, don't it? Amen. Not only that, but in Matthew 28:18, Jesus declared that all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. True. I'm glad we got a God today that's in control. I'm glad man's not in control of things. Man makes a mess out of everything he puts his hands to. In the book of Psalms 24:1 says, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. I could go through many, many, many scriptures that lets me know that God is in control of the things and events that's going on in this world today. Climate change. Real or a hoax? They want to scare you into getting control of you. Amen? This world wants to control you. This world wants to work on your mind and get you under its control. Well, listen to me. We need to think on the things of God and trust God. We're in the last days. We're in the last days. There's no doubt in my mind, according to my Bible, we're living in the last days before the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice this. Not only God controls the climate, but God uses the climate to chastise. Amen. Watch your Bibles this morning. In Ezekiel 14 and 13, the Bible says this. Son of man, when the land sinneth against me by trespassing grievously, then will I stretch out my hand upon it and break the staff of bread thereof and will send famine upon it. You see, the problem is sin. It's not gas, oil, coal. It's not any of those things that I named a while ago. Man's sin brings the chastisement of God upon this whole world today. Not only in Ezekiel 14, but in your Bibles in the book of Nahum. Bet you hadn't read that Nahum lately, have you? In the book of Nahum, in chapter number 1, the Bible says this. It's talking about God's power in judgment. Verse number 3 says, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power and will not at all acquit the wicked. Listen to this. The Lord hath His way in the whirlwind and in the storm, and the clouds are the dust of His feet. He rebuketh the sea and maketh it dry, and drieth up all the rivers. Bashan languisheth and Carmel, and the flower of Lebanon languisheth. The mountains quake at Him, and the hills melt, and the earth is burned at His presence. Yea, the world and all that dwell therein. Who can stand before His indignation? And who can abide in the fierceness of His anger? His fury is poured out like a fire, and the rocks are thrown down by Him. But I like this verse. The Lord is good and a stronghold in the day of trouble, and He knoweth them that trust in Him. All those verses right there explain that God is in control of our climate and the things of this old world today. You remember a man by the name of Elijah? He prayed to the Lord. And the Bible says, for the space of 3.5 years, the heavens were shut up and there was no rain. God can shut it on and He can turn it on or turn it off. He prayed again and the rains came back. So everything in this Bible tells me that, you know, I'm not worried about climate change. And yet in the last days, there are going to be some great events of climate change. In the book of Matthew, the disciples of the Lord said, Lord, what shall be the sign of Thy coming and of the end of the world? Jesus began to give a discourse in Matthew 24 and again in Luke 21, it's recorded. He said there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. Kingdom will rise up against kingdom and nation against nation. There'll be famines. There'll be earthquakes. There'll be pestilences. And things in earthquakes in various places across the world. You can read Matthew 24. You can read Luke 21. And it's just like watching the world news tonight. The things that's going on in this world lines up totally with God's Word. In Luke's Gospel, Jesus said, when you see these things begin to come to pass, then look up. Lift up your eyes, for your redemption is drawing nigh. In Luke 21, He speaks about the sea and the waves roaring. Jesus is coming. And what does climate change have to do with the Lord coming? It has a lot to do with it. A lot. Is it real? Is it a hoax? Everybody's got an opinion, but I'm going to lay, I tried to lay out to you right here that God's in control of the climate today. But let me tell you, there's one climate. There's one climate given in God's Word that you and I are in control of. That's the climate in the house of God. And in our house, in our hearts, in our homes. In this Laodicean church age, Jesus had some stern words to say to us as a church in the day and hour in which we live. He said, you're neither cold nor hot, but because you're lukewarm, I'll spew thee out of my mouth. Why? He said, because thou sayest, I'm rich and increased in goods and have need of nothing. I'd venture to say that some here in this audience this morning has had your mind on what I'm going to do this afternoon. Some of you probably hadn't even heard a whole lot about what I've said this morning and read out of the Word of God. Because you have need of nothing. Amen.
Yes, sir.
Amen. I didn't say, listen here, I'm just talking about what God said. It ain't what Mike Rollins said. It's what God says. We better wake up. He said, because you don't know that you're wretched, miserable, poor, and blind, and naked. Stern words. We live in a time of, we're rich and increased in goods. Well, we've got it better than our forefathers ever even dreamed of having it. On our worst day, in our worst situation, we're blessed. We're blessed. So there's a real climate change that we can do something about. It's in the house of God, in our hearts and our lives. Have need of nothing. Have you thought about that? Have you ever thought about that, what Jesus said? Poor. Wretched. Because you have need of nothing. How many times you come to the house of God and you're not hungry for the things of God? Not concerned about the things of God. Lord God, help us. The Laodicean church age that we're in is the last of the seven church ages before Christ comes. Everything in this Bible right here lines up with the fact that Jesus is coming again. You better be ready for His appearing. It's when He comes, grace ends and judgment begins. Climate change. What does it have to do with Christ coming? I've tried to lay that out for you. But what about culture change? What does that have to do with Christ coming? Culture. Boy, I've lived long enough. I can look back 20 years, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. Man, I can see how things have changed. Culture-wise. Wickedness. Wickedness. We live in a culture today where evil's called good and good's called evil. But I want to tell you this morning, we serve a God that changes not. Sin is still sin. You can take a pig, you can clean it up real good. You can put lipstick on it, but it's still a pig, ain't it? And the things that God says is wrong and God says is an abomination, hey, let me tell you, it still is in the day and hour in which we live. We live in a culture today which wants to change things. And we can see how that our culture today has progressed into more and more wicked ways in acceptance of things. We live in a culture to where man wants to push God out and bring in a lifestyle that's pleasing to the flesh and acceptable to the flesh, but God will not change. He's the Lord and He changes not. What God has always said will always stand, whether man likes it or not. And so we see that man has gone from the Garden of Eden, a garden of perfection. Adam and Eve were perfect in the garden. But as man has progressed down through the ages, he's gone into the gutter of perversion. the things that's going on in the world today. Sex trafficking. Perverts. You can't go down to Walmart without keeping your eye on your kids. You got to watch them. Don't take your eyes off of them. There's weirdos out here in this world today. Culture change. Indoctrination in the schools. They want to take your kids and they want to take everything godly out of them and put everything worldly in them. And make them accept the things that God says is wrong. What about this transgender mess? Have you ever seen anything as stupid? How we've gone to the gutter. Raising up children that don't know if they're a boy or a girl. What's wrong in this world today? The devil, hey, let me tell you, he's going about as a roaring lion seeking whom he may devour. You better stand up today for what's right. And don't compromise with the devil. Don't compromise with the world. Don't compromise on the Word of God. Because the world is after you. He's after your children and he wants you to compromise. Little by little by little, things have crept in. This LGBTQ, whatever all them letters are and they mean. Let me tell you something. These kind of folks, when I was a boy, would wind up down Milledgeville in the nut house. That's the truth. Brother Jake, you know it, don't you? You've been around that long. That's the truth. That's what would happen to them. Somebody didn't know if it was a boy or a girl. And they got off on this track with all this transgenderism and all this other stuff right here. They'd say, well, you're a nutcase. You belong in the nut house. And there wasn't many of them around. They got the head on straight because that ain't where they wanted to go. But we've got the Word of God today to lead and to guide us. It's a dark day in which we live. Mankind has pushed the things of God out so far. And any time you remove God out of His place, the devil will take the place. There's a spirit of darkness all over this country and all over this world today. The devil. Don't be confused this morning. Don't compromise on the things of God. Culture change. There's a lot could be said about it. But I want to point out two times in the history of mankind there's been a great change in culture. One was the days of Noah. Let's look in our Bibles at the days of Noah. Jesus made the statement in Luke 17 that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the day of the coming of the Son of Man. And he also says that about Lot's day. He said, these are the things that you can look for in the world today, in the day in which we live. It'll be like this just before my coming. Let's look at this, the changes in Noah's day. In Genesis chapter number 6 this morning. Now, I know I'm using a lot of scripture today, but have to. I can't remember all of it. In Genesis chapter number 6, notice this right here. I want you to notice something right here. If you read back in Luke 17, and also in Matthew, you'll find that the people of Noah's day, they were blessed. They were busy. They were building. But they were blinded. They wouldn't hear Noah's preaching. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. But they rejected his preaching and they perished in the flood that was to come. Judgment's coming just like it did in Noah's day. But I want you to see something right here. In Noah's day right here, there was a multiplying of the ungodly. Notice he said right here in Genesis 6 and 1, and it came to pass when men began to multiply on the face of the earth, and daughters were born unto them. And he goes on and talks about the progression of wickedness when men began to multiply on the earth. Now, I jotted down some figures here that I looked up. In the year 1800, there was an estimated 1 billion people upon earth. 100 years passes. By 1900, there was only 1.6 billion people in the earth, estimated. By 1950, it had grown to 2.5 billion. By 2000, it had grown to 6 billion. And today, there's an estimated, or I guess you'd call it an estimate, of over 8 billion people in the earth. You see, there's a population explosion today in the world, like there was in Noah's day. And the multiplying of men means the multiplying of wickedness. Why? Because not all men believe God. Not all men will go along with the things of God. A lot of people are children of the devil in the day in which we live today. There was a multiplying of the ungodly, and also there was the marriage perverted. Marriage was perverted. He said that the sons of God saw the daughters of men that they were fair, and they took unto them wives of all which they chose. Now you can read commentaries and you can get a lot of different opinions of what that verse means right there, how it's interpreted by a lot of people. But it does tell me that God wasn't pleased with what was going on. Is marriage perverted in the day in which we live? Yes, sir. Amen. We live in a day when same-sex marriage is sanctioned. And you know what they want you to do? They want you to accept it. They put it on your TV channels. They put it on your TV commercials. They put it, they're cramming it down your throat. But let me tell you something. God's not changed His idea on marriage. When God made Adam, He made him a man. The Bible is clear. It said He created man, male and female created He them. When He took a rib out of Adam's side and created a woman, He brought the woman to Adam. They twain become one flesh. God has not changed. God's not changed. Man has. And so we see the culture change in Noah's day. There was a multiplying of the ungodly. Marriages were perverted. And if you read on through this chapter, you'll see that the mind of men was perverted and the morals of man was perverted. And he just became more and more wicked. The Bible says that in verse number 5, God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continuously. The earth was corrupt, he goes on and says. And so what God says in the day of Noah, He's still saying today. Judgment's coming. Get right, because judgment is coming. Noah was a preacher of righteousness. Noah preached, get right, for judgment's coming. The Bible says the wicked will be turned into hell in every nation that forgets God. Let me tell you something, church. You, all you people that's got little children here in this house today, you better stick with God. Listen to me. You better train your children up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Because you turn them out to this world, and the world's going to try to take God totally out of them. And so it's up to you, mamas and daddies. Keep your children in church. They need you to lead and to guide and to raise them in a way that God would have them raised. Noah's day, there was a great culture change. What about in Lot's day? Lot, the nephew of Abraham. They had both amassed a great herd, great fortune, I guess you might say, in their day. And their herdmen were striving one against the other. And Abraham says, well, we'll just split ways. I'll go one way, you go the other way. And I'll let you choose which way to go. Lot looked down towards Sodom. The plains were well watered. And the Bible says he just pitched his tent towards Sodom. But you know what? He wound up over in Sodom. And God says in His Word that the men of Sodom were exceeding, exceeding wicked sinners. I don't have to tell you this morning what was going on in Sodom. Most of you know that story. Sodom. Men wanting men. And Lot carried his family over into Sodom. You see how compromise works? He just looked towards Sodom, and he moved towards Sodom, and then he moved into Sodom. Better guard yourselves. This day in which we live. Lot got loose. And he compromised. Oh, I can handle it. I can handle it. It ain't going to affect me. It will affect you. You better guard yourselves. Lot's looseness. What about his leadership? He led his family off over into Sodom. And over there he lost. When God decided to destroy Sodom, his sons-in-laws mocked him when he tried to tell them. He lost his testimony. He lost everything that he had over there. Him and his daughters got out. His wife looked back and she was turned into a pillar of salt, the Bible says. Great lessons right here about culture change. And let me tell you something. You don't have to change. You don't have to go along with this world system. Somebody's got to take a stand. You know, most everybody in here knows what's happened to the Methodist Church. A lot of churches have had to pull out of their Methodist, of the United Methodist thing, because of them putting homosexuals in the pulpit and various other sins that they're going against God's Word for. You better watch yourself. The devil is sly. But Jesus said, you want to know when I'm coming again what to look for? He said, look for the days of Noah. And look for it to be like it was in the days of Lot. That's when I'm coming again. And I'm here to tell you this morning, that is the day that we're living in today. We're living in that day. Jesus is coming. Seeing the day. Can you see it this morning? I want to exhort you to see what God's Word says today about Christ's second coming. It's near. It's near. Climate change, culture change, Christ's coming. For every one time throughout the Old Testament, you find prophecy saying that Christ is coming. The Messiah is coming. Even where He's coming to. Every one time, in the New Testament and the Old Testament alike, the prophecy of Christ's second coming, when He would come back to rapture the church and then come as Lord of Lords and King of Kings, is prophesied 8 times more about His second coming. Why? As I said before, because grace is going to end and judgment upon this world is going to begin when He comes again. The first time He came as a Savior of the world, a babe born in a manger, as we were singing about a while ago. The second time that He comes, He'll have on a vesture dipped in blood. Name written on His thigh, Lord of Lords and King of Kings. He's come the first time to bring peace to the world. When He comes again, He's coming to make war. War against all His enemies. He came the first time as the Lamb of God. Amen. When He comes again, He's coming as the Lion of the tribe of Judah. I'm glad I'm ready to meet Him. Are you ready to meet the Lord? I've tried to help you this morning to see the day that we're living in. But are you really ready for the Lord to come? Ask yourself that question in my heart. Have I been born again? Am I saved? Am I just a church member? Do I really, really have that peace that passes all understanding? I wonder this morning, if somebody, sister, would you come to the piano this morning? I want to give you an invitation this morning. While there's still time, while God's speaking to you this morning, I want to give you the opportunity to get in this altar this morning, call upon Him who came into the world to give His life a ransom for my sins and your sins. And today He's saying, come, come. While there's still time, come. Pray and ask Him to save you this morning. Stand with us around this house. Seeing the day approaching. Jesus said, when you see these things come to pass, know that it's at the door. Would you come this morning? We're celebrating the Christmas season when He came into this old world. Just as sure as He came the first time as a babe in a manger, He's coming again. For those that are ready to meet Him, we'll be caught up in the air. To meet Him in the air, we'll forever be with the Lord. How about it this morning over here? Is everybody in this side right here?